Hi, so thanks very much. To start the podcast, could you tell me a little bit about the paper that you've written about the importance of sibling relationships and the way in which they shape how young people, as you used the phrase, turn out?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the paper that I presented at this conference was about kind of saying that sociology needs to pay more attention to lateral kin and lateral relationships.
And sorry, what does lateral?
It means kind of horizontal, so siblings or cousins, as opposed to vertical relationships with kind of parents and intergenerational ties. So my paper's kind of saying that there's been a bit of too much of a focus, really, on how things are passed on from parents to children. So if we think about ideas like how class reproduction happens, our understandings of habitus and how capital is passed on, and our understandings of socialisation and things, it's always kind of implicit that things come from parents to children, which obviously they do. But my research is saying that actually, for some strange reason, we've not really paid much attention to siblings. And actually, siblings are a really important relationship. They're one of our most long-lasting relationships. And there's something which I found in my research that's really interesting about siblings, which is that there's a kind of comparable nature to a sibling relationship. So people can't help but compare. And being a sibling means being an individual in a series, in a sibship, in a family. So you're one of two or three or whatever. And I was really interested in how having a sibling matters to how you think about who you are, who you might become in the future. And to kind of shine a bit of a spotlight on this under-researched relationship and look at how important it is.
It seems quite an oversight because obviously, as you say, it's such a common aspect of
human
experience.
It's a bit weird. And this is something that we talked about in the session yesterday and came up a bit in the questions. And I mean, I'm not really sure I know exactly why. Apart from that, I think that sibling relationships kind of complicate some of our understandings of kind of social transmission and socialisation and that sort of thing, and because it's quite neat to see things as happening kind of between parents and children in a nuclear family. But I think implicit in all those understandings is that siblings who grow up in the same family, have the same parents, perhaps not, a similar background, are going to kind of turn out the same. But of course they don't. So it kind
of... That's when you keep all the tests from their own experience.
Absolutely. So I think sibling relationships kind of throw up a few tricky questions for social theory as well as for kind of my interest, which is in kind of sociology of personal life and relationships.
So there's two people, three people, four people who are all trying to negotiate a very similar kind of cultural environment.
Yes, definitely. And how obviously they don't all end up doing the same thing, being the same sorts of people. So by looking at siblings, we can kind of think differently about ideas of nature and nurture, but also of how other forms of sociality outside the home have a big impact on our lives, and how actually siblings who grow up in the same family don't necessarily experience the family in the same way. They're experiencing it from different positions, maybe times are different. For example, if you have an older brother or sister who's gone to university and then the tuition fees are hiked up and you're yet next to go, then you're going to have a very financially different start in life to your older sibling, you know.
So although it might seem like quite a micro-social concern, it can actually be a route into all sorts of issues.
I think so. I think it's quite important. But, I mean, in my study, I've been very interested in the micro lived realities of the relationships and young people's ideas about their identity being kind of formed in relation to their siblings. So you hear a lot, people will say, oh, she's the clever one, or she's the sporty one, or, you know, he's the funny one, or such and such got all the looks, and you never have a funny two or a clever two. You kind of, people seem to understand a sibship, which means all the siblings in the group as a whole, and each individual is just a kind of part of that whole. So I'm quite interested in this idea that siblings can be a kind of benchmark of how you're turning out in relation to them. So the kind of comparable nature of those ties.
Do you think it's feasible for sociologists and, I guess, anthropologists to generalise about the kinds of dynamics that obtain between siblings? Because, like, speaking from, you know, as someone who has one brother, say, and friends who have a few siblings, particularly when gender's thrown into the equation, do you think it's all very idiosyncratic depending on personal situation, or do you think there are things that are generally true about different combinations?
I think that's a really interesting question, and actually, like, parents ask me quite a lot. Like, a friend of mine asked me the other day, she's got a baby, and she said, you know, how long shall I wait till I have the other one? I want them to get along. And I was like, well, you know, everybody's sibling relationships are different. So my research, certainly, I can't generalise up like that, and I suspect the sibling relationships are different. It's also, I mean, you might not, we want to be including like step siblings, half siblings, sometimes cousins can be like siblings. So even your definition of what a sibling is can be troubled.
And the different dynamics can become very complex.
Very complex. And they change through time. I mean, I've studied young people here, but I'd be interested to look at siblings in later life as well and see how things change as you get older.
At the very end of life, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. When, you know, you haven't got your parents there as well, and whether the dynamic shifts and changes. But one of the things that I think did come out strongly is that there were really strong normative ideas about sibling configuration, about birth order, position and gender. So there's really strong normative ideas, for example, about the role of an older brother. And lots of young people said, oh, I'd love to have an older brother. They'd be able to, like, stick up for me if I got into trouble at school. They'd protect me, you know, those sorts of things. But then the young people who did have an older brother, I did focus groups. Yeah, would be like, what are you talking about? My older brother would laugh if I got into trouble.
Playing in this podcast when it's done.
Yeah, he should. So I think that those kind of ideas of being an older, middle or younger child, there's strong normative discourses. But there is one thing that I did find, and I'm not saying it's generalisable, but in my study, was that at school, at secondary school, and I interviewed young people of secondary school age and did focus groups with them, an older sibling does have a particular role. So, for example, an older sibling can affect a younger sibling at school, so for good or ill. So you can learn things about how to tie your tie, to wear your socks, to not be a geek on your first day, and how to kind of manage that sort of sociality at school from your older brother or sister.
So they can be agents of socialisation, but
yeah,
a different kind
absolutely.
Of socialisation.
You can learn things from them, you can get capital from them. But also, I think there's this interesting idea where actually seeing an older sibling progress through the education system before you gives this kind of funny kind of combination of hindsight and foresight about your own life. So you can look at what happened to your older brother or sister and think, well, I saw that they mucked about, they didn't revise for their exams, they didn't do very well in their GCSEs, and now they haven't gone to college. So you think, well, so I'm going to remember that, and when I get to that stage, I'm going to not make the same mistake. So, you know, you can kind of predict how you might turn out in the future or manage your behaviour in the future according to what you've seen happen with an older brother or sister. And that doesn't really work the other way. So, but this is just at school. It seems that older brothers and sisters don't get so much from their younger siblings, maybe just a bit of embarrassment sometimes about being stuck with them.
But it seems like that sort of dynamic that you're talking about is something very temporal.
Mm.
That if you want to understand the significance of these relationships, you have to understand them over time. Which you talk about this in terms of becoming.
Yeah, but I didn't do a longitudinal study, which is interesting because to think about becoming, you'd think, oh, longitudinal, and there's been some wonderful longitudinal, a 10-year study that was done by a bunch of researchers, Rachel Thompson and Sheila Henderson, called Inventing Adulthoods, and they did a longitudinal kind of perspective of young people's lives. And I couldn't do that anyway as part of my PhD. I didn't really have the opportunity. But also I think I've kind of got this kind of snapshot methodology, but where I've asked young people to imagine the future and talk about the past. So I feel that there's a very strong temporal dimension to my work, even though I spoke to young people at a moment in time, and it's all kind of narratives of the future. But I think that's been good for the sorts of thinking that I'm interested in, and how young people think that they're going to change matters to my work as much as going and getting back in touch with them in 10 years' time and seeing how they actually did change. Do you see what I mean?
I do. I guess time is inherent in sibling relations in a way that it's not for parent-child relations, because they obviously can't be younger parents, but they can't be older or younger siblings.
Yeah, no, exactly. And birth order kind of positions like that are quite interesting. But they're less fixed outside of the school context. So there's something about school that's very much defined on age lines, whereas I spoke to some young people at youth clubs and things, and they manage their sibling relationships differently in different contexts.
Outside of that very formal context. And so does this importance of temporality apply to how our being is embedded in relationships more generally?
Yeah, definitely. I think temporality is really important. In terms of, there's been quite a lot of interesting work about kind of how, inspired by anthropology, by how kind of we're embedded in these webs of relationships through time. And the idea of kind of, Carol Smart talks about the idea of kind of hauntings of past generations. And actually, that is, when I was starting my PhD project, I was working with Jennifer Mason on a project about family resemblances. And I got very interested then in the idea of your dead ancestors kind of being embodied in the way you move or the way you speak, and how that really matters to people, that idea of kind of kinship in the past and then what you might pass on in the future. And I think that it's that sort of perspective has inspired the position I take on temporality with siblings in this project.
And is your interest in siblings in particular, you know, a product of your own experience? Do you have siblings?
Yeah, I do. I have a younger sister. I won't say little sister, she's not little anymore. She's 2.5 years younger than me. And I suppose our relationship's quite typical, but she did, I think, inspire this project a little bit, because we're, people often say we look alike, we talk alike. So if we phone home, my dad especially sometimes doesn't know which one of us it is. And we have a lot of likenesses in terms of our kind of cultural tastes and stuff. And also, I think academically, she leans towards the humanities like me. She's very clever. But I just went, obviously, before her through school and did very well. And I think she always lived with this, oh, wonderful, we've got Catherine Davis's sister. And she totally lived up to my reputation and beyond it. But I think that was probably always something that got on her nerves, the being compared to me. And I think she tried to want to do different things than I'd done at school because of that. And so I was kind of aware of this. I wasn't at the time, but now I'm an adult. And also that whole kind of ambivalence at the heart of sibling relationships that that's interesting with my sister. So we would fall out, we'd get on each other's nerves, but there's a closeness there about kind of growing up together that is lovely. And I think that it's that you can love and hate your sibling at the same time, which...
Does that make sibling relationships inherently quite difficult to study? Because you could ask someone, you know, how do you feel about your sibling? And the answer will vary a lot.
Definitely, definitely. And it's not really a question I asked young people that much, how you feel about your sibling. Because, yeah, it depends on the day, doesn't it? And you're growing up so quickly and things are changing. So I had some younger siblings who had always played with their older brother or sister, and then just kind of seemingly all of a sudden the older brother or sister didn't want to play with them anymore. They'd grown out of it, and that can be quite...
crushing.
Yeah. So time can just change 1-6 months ahead. Everything can be different in your sibling relationship for a while. So it didn't really... I mean, I think it is really difficult to study, and there's been some other work. Samantha Punch did some interviews where she went to people's homes and interviewed all the siblings together and then separately. She kind of observed how they interacted and then how they talked about their relationships. So she kind of like used that methodology to get at those sorts of issues, where I was more interested in how young people make sense of the importance of their identity in relation to their sibling and in relation to other relationships, and also how they make sense of what's kind of fixed and malleable about who they are and who they might become in the future. And I wanted to pay particular attention to the role of siblings in that. So I think maybe I sidestepped the issue by asking slightly different questions in my research.
And there's one final question, and I apologise because it's quite a big one.
Okay.
Do you think that the sibling relationships have changed over time, and do you think they'll continue to change in the 21st century?
It is a big one. Well, I don't know, because nobody's really in sociology paid much attention to
them. Again, the oversight.
Yeah. There aren't kind of older studies that I can look at. So I really don't know, but the whole issue of kind of relationships and social change is a prickly one, I guess. And I think that some of my work on siblings talk to some of those theories of social change, and people like Beck and Giddens say that, you know, everything's different now, that we no longer have kind of clear route maps to follow into adulthood, and everything's kind of in turmoil. And actually, I found that your sibling can provide you a route map that you can kind of see what happens to them through life and follow that. So in some ways, I think some of the social change theories looking at siblings does speak to that, but I have no idea whether sibling relationships have changed. Probably. And some of the anthropological work in different cultures has shown So Janet Carsten's book, The Heat of the Hearth, which is an ethnography, I think, of a Malay fishing community, and in that, sibling relationships have particular significance. So I can see that there are kind of cultural differences, so maybe there's certainly a lot of media stuff about there's going to be a growth in only children, and people are like putting, you know, so kind of demographic change will probably affect the number of siblings. I mean, certainly people used to have more children, so, you know, maybe the idea of being the middle child wasn't such an issue, I don't know. But I don't know about the ambivalences and the love-hate, whether that's always kind of been there or not, I wouldn't like to say.
That was fascinating. Thanks very much.